The whole idea is that service to Krishna is all done in a hierarchy. There's a chain, there's a, well, we say disciplic succession. Hierarchy means levels. High, one higher, one lower. One serving, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. One person picks the flowers and brings them to another person strings them. Then another person carries that garland, gives it to another person, the other person gives it to another person, and that person gives it to Lalita, and Lalita gives it to Radharani, and Radharani gives it to Krishna. So that's a chain of seva, a service chain, or a hierarchy. And those servitors that have the direct access to Krishna are his own direct family members, parishas, parikars, eternal associates. And everyone else is like downline, they're assisting. Assistance of the assistance of the assistance. That's why we say das, das. Lord Chaitanya taught us that we have to develop this bhav. Das, das, anadas. So, in India especially, gurus generally, they have any spiritual institution, gurus have an ashram or a temple. And they have a handful of brahmacharis, you know, that live with them. And they do all the main services there. And now, through their preaching and writing and outreach and travel programs, they may have literally 10, 20, 30,000 disciples amongst Grihastha community. Now there's no personal instructions. They teach them. They say, you know, you hear, chant, and remember Krishna 24 hours a day. And they'll tell that to 20,000 people. And you should serve Vaishnavas and try to preach somehow or other. This is Gaudiya Vaishnava sadhus. Try to preach and spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and benefit others. And purify and improve yourself by doing bhajan, especially non-bhajan, hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna's naam, rupa, guna, and lila. So now that's 30,000 people are doing the same thing. And so those general instructions will carry through Kanishtha and Madhyam. And then when one comes to the level of bhava, the level of bhava, then one spiritual form is revealed. And then there's 11 symptoms of the siddha-deha that will be revealed through the name. The name will qualify us to receive the bhava-bhakti coming from the hearts of the eternal associates of the Lord. Or if we meet a shiksha-guru or a diksha-guru who is so self-realized who can see our spiritual form, then he will reveal. So through nam, which attracts the mercy and attention of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and Vrindadevi and Lalita and Shaka and other parishads, or through Guruji, Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru, or through Bhakti Devi herself, if our service necessity is so great, then 11 symptoms of our spiritual body will be revealed, Ekadash Bhav. And one of those symptoms is Agya. Specific seva agya, the order of seva that we will do for the pleasure of the divine couple, which will be one specific service, maybe offering tambul or pan, or massaging the feet, or offering chamara, or carrying messages, or many things can be there. We may do that every day, or we're especially involved with that. And then we will serve according to the necessity of the pastime. And we'll serve in a chain, under a chain. Our immediate Guru Sakhi, who's our Diksha Guru, our Sadguru, and then we'll serve under our Param Guru in his Sakhi form, and then Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari, Lalita, Vishaka, and our Yuteshwari, in particular, Gopis on chart, whatever group we're in, Vishaka's group, or Lalita's group, whatever. So they may ask us to do any number of different services. There's about 16 different services the mandris offer. So then, but in the balance of the time, we'll be just moving with Radha and Krishna, moving with their pastimes, hearing about them, chanting about them, remembering them, even in the spiritual world, in our spiritual body. The same thing here. When one is a sadhaka and he's practicing under the order of the guru, he's basically only doing these three activities: hearing, chanting, remembering. the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because this is the means, especially sankirtan, non-sankirtan. This is the most, which includes hearing and remembering. This is the primary, the sadhana, by which we become purified, by which we awaken bhava and prema for Krishna. Well, let's say, attain bhava and prema for Krishna. So we don't really require any specific instructions or any specific seva. That is the seva. That's the seva. That's the jiva dharma for every jiva. To hear, chant, and remember Krishna. And it's told everywhere. Now, in order to encourage that, or deepen our faith in that, or give us determination and realization and inspiration to engage in those three activities of bhakti, we're told everywhere to associate with sadhus. So when you associate with sadhus, it says that if you want to get the full benefit from that association, you should render some service. Mahat sevam dwara mahorami muktes. It says, mahat sevam dwara mahorami muktes. By mahat sevanam, it says, kata ruchi. By serving the great souls, the door to liberation is opened. Mahat sevam. Then it says, kata ruchi. When one gets a taste for Hari Kata. So we need ruchi, because we're in the level of anartha nivritti. And to become steady, we have to get a higher taste, and that will make us steady. And to develop feelings, we have to get even more taste for the object of our practice. So therefore, the sadhu sangha, we have to render some service to them. So then we ask them, what service can I do? And as the jiva is practicing hearing, chanting, remembering, from within himself, he will manifest a desire to serve. O Mother Hara, O Energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, please engage me in your service. Please engage me in Krishna's service. Please engage me in the service of the Vaishnavas. So this is the sum and substance of bhakti. Hear, chant, remember, and serve. And everything is attained. So that's the instruction for everyone. So the whole idea of hearing and chanting and remembering is to awaken what Maharaj was mentioning, the seva bhav, the intense desire to serve, because that's the basis of our ekadash bhav. That's the basis of the siddha sarup is based on seva bhav. Bhav determines the form. First bhav and then rup. So we say, jivera surupaya krishnara nityadas. So first, before that sarup is attained, that Krishna sarup is attained, to serve Krishna, we have to have the das. Dasya bhav. So that dasya bhav comes about by hearing, chanting, remembering, and associating with sadhus. But if you want to get the full effect of hearing from sadhus, which means association, hearing the Hari Katha, you must serve them. Because by serving them, you'll please them. When you please them, you'll please Krishna. And you'll derive more mercy from Krishna. And more mercy, you'll attract the heart and the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And through the transcendental mechanism that Krishna is explaining in various shastras, you will get ruchi. That will be the gift. Super soul will give ruchi, taste. And that taste will drive you on and on and on in your hearing and chanting and remembering. This is the sum and substance of bhakti from beginning to end, from neophyte Kanishtha to uttam adhikari. So there's, and sometimes if the guru has a mission, so part of the mahat sevam, or part of the Vaishnava seva, we say Hari Guru Vaishnava. We should serve Hari Guru and Vaishnava, right? So Hari Guru Vaishnava. So part of that seva may be a specific seva. Oh, please, will you join my temple and do the puja? Will you do the cooking? Will you go out and preach? Will you go out and collect funds for the new temple? So that's specific Vaishnava seva, guru seva. And that's a great fortune if one can do that. But as I mentioned, generally a guru has an ashram and he has 20, 30 brahmacharis that are doing everything. So now what are the other 20,000 grihasthas? Say, Guruji, can we have some personal service? I say, well, I only have one back.
Yeah.
I don't have 20,000 backs to massage. And I only have two dhotis, and you're 20,000 disciples. So the personal service, the vapu seva, vapu means body seva, vapu, or the personal service instructions of the guru are very less. But the real intention of the guru is to see every disciple, grihastha or whatever, whomever, is to attain the perfection of human life, which is the praying seva of Radha and Krishna. So every guru knows that that can be attained principally and very quickly by somehow helping his disciple or his 20,000 disciples or 50,000 disciples, encouraging them and helping them attain ruchi for nam bhajan. Because nam bhajan, which means remembering and hearing and chanting, these are the primary limbs of bhakti, which include everything else. Archana is included there, and dasyam, friendship, is included there, and servitorship and conjugal love is included there, atmanavedanam. Everything's included in hearing, chanting, remembering. So that's why he says, well, you know, but the main point, what happens is when one's initiated, as I repeatedly said, is that one is officially in line to receive the mercy. Like someone might say, all right, anyone who gets in line, make a queue. You get in a queue, you get in a line, I'm going to give you. Anyone's out of the queue, they don't get any money. Someone says, I'm giving out money. Says, no, give me money. And then people coming like India, they come from all sides. Give me. No, get in the line. So people are very patiently, very humbly, submissively, with humility and submission, lining up. And even though there may be 100, there's 100 people in front of me. Anyway, he said, get in line and I'll get money. So, but there's 100 people in front of me, maybe runs out of money, maybe all the money, they take all the money, somebody hits him on the head. Anyway, I follow his instruction. I get in line. So I get in line and then everybody goes and it's my turn and he gives me a big handful of money. Because I stayed in line. So one takes initiation, he's in line. It's succession. Parampara means line. He's in line to receive the mercy. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasha yogadu sakaleneha mahata yoganashta parantapa. It's a line, and the line starts with Krishnavani, and Krishnavani becomes Guruvani. The words of Krishna are the words of Guru. Guruvani, Krishnavani. Krishnavani becomes Brahmavani. Brahmavani becomes Naradvani. Naradvani becomes Vyasvani. Vyasvani becomes Shukavani. Sri Shukavacha. Shukavani becomes Sutavani. Sutavani becomes Guruvani. Prabhupadvani. Prabhupadvani becomes Guruvani. And that is, and then Guru Vakya Padma Chitite Kori Aikya. So the words of the Guru, they become our Vani. They become our life and soul. So when we surrender to Guru and take Diksha, then we're connected, we're in line. So we'll get the mercy. Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nagati Gotopi. There's no other way, Vishnu says, to get the mercy than coming, get in line. Get in line, and you'll get the mercy. So many people, anyone can hear and chat, anyone can run around to holy places, anyone can do their own thing. That's the independence. But the dependence is when we actually surrender. Because you have to be prepared. Because, okay, I seem to be a free bird now. Guruji just said you chant a lakh a day and you do your prakama and you associate with good sadhus, Gaudiya, Vaishnava, Sajatiya, Snigdha sadhus, and give me your report every month. You give me a report. You keep a diary. Many gurus, they ask their disciples to keep a diary, and then they ask that they say, I want to read the diary. You give me the diary every month, and you read everything, and you pretend that you're writing to God. You won't share anything. It's all private. It's between you and God, and I'm God's representative. So I'll read it, and then I'll advise you accordingly. So this is a very, very intimate and confidential arrangement. I don't know if they do that in ISKCON, but I know gurus that do that. So therefore you reveal your mind to your diary, then the diary is read by the guru and he sees your thinking and your feelings, because it's, otherwise he has to sit with you for hours and hours. He reads it and then he calls you and says, I read your diary, I made some notes, and I see what your tendencies are and your problems, and I recommend this. This is a very nice practice, especially those that live in the ashram have more access to the guru. Those that live at large, like grihasthas, scattered around, it's not so feasible maybe for them. But at any rate, when one takes initiation, he has to be prepared that the Vani of the Gurudev is my life and soul. And he must be prepared, well, now he's letting me be a free bird, but he may call me, oh, hello, Krishnadas, I want you to get, I'm sending money, a ticket, I want you to fly tomorrow from Delhi to Kakistan or whatever stan, one of the stans, and I want you to be the temple president. Oh, but Guruji, you know, I'm really attached, you know, living in India, and all the saints say I should never leave India, and I'll get perfection here, and this is Chintamani Bhumi, and that's Malecha Bhumi, and I want to stay here. Then there's no shishya. There's no sad shishya. The Sadguru is asking, now all of a sudden, oh, now I have found out about surrender. Sometimes it's like the dog, you know, they have a rope, and they give a long rope, and the dog runs, and oh, I'm free. And all of a sudden the master goes, whoop, goes, oh, I'm tied. So the true disciple is always tied to the feet of the guru. So the guru may give some seeming freedom for nirjan bhajan or solitary bhajan. And then he may say, okay, now you come. Oh, Guruji, I come. I surrender, dasasmi. But now I'm in the temple. Oh, Guruji, I can't chant my lakh every day. I can barely chant 16 rounds. There's so much seva and I can't read. And anyway, I want you to do this. So then it becomes a test. Because we see, are we attached to Guru or are we attached to our independence? If we're attached to our independence, then we'll think, oh, I should go to India. I can't, you know, it's too difficult. And this is too hard. And I was having such a good time living on the banks of Radhakund and chanting. I was enjoying my independence. And now Guruji is testing me. I better reveal my mind. Oh, Guruji, please, can I go back to Indra's Kirtan party? I want to sit in Vrindavan and enjoy the spiritual atmosphere. So then you'll see that once you come under the shelter of Guru, then you'll find out what it means, what it means surrender. And he may trick you, because gurus are very tricky, because they say, oh yeah, it's called parokshavad. You may say something externally, but something different is implied internally. Oh, Guruji, I really want to stay in India and do my bhajan. Yes, yes, you do that. That's very good for you. But then you think, oh, he's saying that, because maybe he knows I'm not surrendered. But then you say, but you know, I'm thinking like that, but actually I think I should just live with you in Moscow and help you with your preaching. And then I'll say, do you think you really want to do that? And he says, yes, I want to do that. Okay, come with me now. Yeah, so you don't try to second guess the spiritual master. Like there's this pastime with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He heard that one of his brahmacharis, his mother was dying, really dying. And she was also a Vaishnavi, and she's not a Mayadevi or anything. And she was in Bangladesh, and he was in Mayapur, Gaudiya Math. And so Bhakti Siddhanta said, here, I'm giving you this money, and you take this money, and you go see your mother, and you stay for a week or two, and you help her, and you come back. Here's the money for the train. And he said, this is my order, you go, and we'll, if you do this, take care of your mother. It's very important. So then the disciple said, yes, Guruji, I'll do that. So then he went, and he was thinking, actually, I don't want to leave, you know, I may die going and coming. And I get every birth, this is the meditation of the disciple. Every birth I get a mother and father. What do I care about my mother and father? But finally I have a Sadguru. But it's his order. He ordered me. And he gave me the money to go and come. And he very strictly ordered me. And I have to follow Guru's order. Otherwise I'm a Guru of Agya. I'm disregarding Guru. This is offense. And how can I do Nam if I do this fourth offense or third offense to the Guru? Third offense, you know, Guru of Agya. Disregard the Guru. Disobey his order. Or think he's a material man, or think he's ordinary. This is all Guru Vakya. Or Shastraninda. Shastraninda, like sometimes people say, well, people in the West, you know, they can chant. They don't know anything about the 10 offenses, so therefore they can chant without offense. People say like that. Sometimes you hear. But actually, they're also offending. Because one of the offenses is Shastraninda. So this means, Shastraninda means to offend the Shastra, but it's also an offense if you don't know the Shastra. And you don't follow the Shastra. So the fact that they don't, just because they're Europeans or Americans or Russians, they don't know the Shastras, like Padma Purana and others, which talk about the Nama-aparadhas. Because just because they're ignorant of the aparadhas doesn't mean they're not making them. Because they're ignorance of Shastra and not following them, they're all meatheads and everything else, and Shastras don't allow that. So that itself is offensive. It's Shastra-ninda. So they are offenders. So even though, God, these guys are, these drunks are just chanting, so it must be Nama Bas. So they must be liberated. They go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They don't know about the 10 offenses, and the Bhakta doesn't know, so he must be chanting Nama. No, he's not. He's chanting a Nama Parad also. Without knowing the offenses, he's also making the offense. Because one of the offenses is to that human life means to know the laws of God, which are in the Shastra. Study the Shastra, hear the Shastra, and follow them. So if they're living in a human form, but not knowing the Shastra and not following them, that's their responsibility in human life. So therefore they're animals, and they're actually offending the holy name. That's another point. So the story I was telling. So the brahmachari, he was considering, oh, but if I leave Guruji and then I go there and then maybe, you know, then I could die and lose my guru's association. He said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to follow his order. So he went to one brahmachari. He said, listen, you know, Guruji, I'm going to stay in his closet. And you just bring me a little rice and dal. I'm going to stay in here and chant two lakhs nam every day. And just read a little bit in this closet. Don't tell Guruji. I'm going to stay here about a week or so. And then I'll come out and then I'll tell Guruji that I went. But I can't bear, you know, so. So he didn't like that. And then, you know, after a couple of days, because, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is not so slow, he could understand what was going on. And then he sent for some brahmachari. He said, I think Krishnadas is in a closet somewhere. Is it right? And there's many accounts of gurus knowing what's going on with their disciples, even in another city, or many, many times. It's a very interesting phenomenon. Krishna arranges to inform the guru one way or another. So then, the other brahmachari said, no, Guruji, he's not here. He said, no, I think he's here. And so then he went and got him. And then he went, he was very embarrassed and very fearful in one sense. And Guruji Bhakti Santasaraswati said, Krishnadas, did you go see your mother? Did you go? Oh, Guruji, I didn't go. Why? But I ordered you to go. I gave you the money. I ordered you to go. Why? Why didn't you go? Oh, Guruji, I'm very sorry. And he started crying because he's a young boy. He's a very simple, innocent village boy. Very pure-hearted. He started crying. Oh, Guruji, I was hiding in the closet for three or four days. And I was just thinking that I can't, you know, I'm so fortunate to have your association and I just don't want to leave. I can't leave. Even though I know I went against your order, I broke your order, but I just couldn't leave you. I'll let my mother go to hell, let her die 1,000 times. I don't care. And whatever, if that's a dharmic, I don't care. All I understand is I should be with you at your lotus feet. And Bhakti Siddhanta smiled and he said, yes, you have understood the internal meaning of my instruction. I was simply testing you. And you passed the test. So it's like this. You know, it's very hard to understand.